Much, Pastor. Thank you. Well, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be back here. Maybe I should get an application form and apply for membership and join Pastor Chi. Bless the Lord. Right. I come with a pastor friend, Pastor Johnson. Why don't you stand and... Pastor Johnson Silumbwe. Pastor Johnson is an associate pastor at the Fusion Worship Center. What place is that? In Dallas. So, but he's here with me. He came with me last week, and then he's here with me here today. And right, we're just so excited to have you around. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then it's good to see the faces that I saw last week. All right. And then I want to promise you from the Word of God that we're going to have a good time. Amen. You're so quiet and cool. Can I hear a big amen?
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we adore you. We worship you. We thank you for the ministry of your word. Thank you that the man of God has prayed. And so shall it be in this place this morning. Lord, there's someone that needs a supernatural turnaround. And you're going to meet them at the point of their need. That man, that woman that is desperate, in need of a touch. Father, you touch them today. Lord, that man, that woman that needs a financial miracle. Oh, Lord, I pray, let the windows of heaven open for them. In the name of Jesus, that married that needs to be fixed, restored. Father, I pray today, you are the God of restoration. You will restore. In the name of Jesus. That man, that woman that feels so cold and complacent. They feel there was a time in their lives when they used to feel so closer to God than they feel right now. Father, today, let fire come upon them. Fire in their bones. Revive, restore, empower, Father, in the name of Jesus. We give you the praise and the glory. Thank you, Lord. That man, that woman that is seeking for a job, a stable job. Father, I pray you will meet them at the point of their need. So, Father, today I want to thank you and to bless you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody shouted, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are a great God, a great King of all the earth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you today, I want to, I'm going to take you through some scriptures, and then Mama stood up here and she is talking about the woman with the issue of blood. That was so powerful and prophetic. Amen. And the just characters you find in Scripture. The woman with the issue of blood. And when the Bible says issue, she had issues. And some people here this morning have issues. So whatever issue, Jesus will meet you at the point of need. Amen. She had an issue. Amen. I see another gentleman by the name of Blind Bartimaeus. He had an issue. Both of these characters were desperate for a touch. Desperate for a touch of God. And God met them at the point of need. Amen. So this morning, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, today is my day. Oh, come on, we can say it better than that. Say, today is my day. Amen. Amen. You know, you can do what that little woman with the issue of blood did, right? Before I get to, I don't know, I always go to something that I didn't plan to talk about, but then because I was reading about that last night, and then you mentioned it, so you helped me. Amen. That she's made my life easier today. All right. But there, you learn, the Bible says, faith comes by, and hearing by what? By the word of God. Right. Romans 10:17. And then I'm looking at this little woman. She did four things. Number one, Pastor Julius, she heard. What did she hear? She heard about Jesus. Jesus is the word. She heard about the testimony. She heard about what Jesus did. Are you there? And then number two, she believed. What she believed? She believed what she heard. You know how many times we believe what we hear, even when it is not true? And we preach it as if we were there physically. Are you there? But that's, we believe it. He said, no, it's true. And I've heard people talk about stories as if they were there. But they were not even heard there. They were just told. They heard it through the third party. She heard. Whether you hear it through the third party, if it's a good story, tell it. So she heard, she believed. Hello? What did she believe? What she heard. And then she did not only hear and believe, there's a third thing she did. She acted on what she heard. She acted on what she believed. She acted on what she heard. You hear, you believe, you act. Are you there? That's what she did. And then listen to this. She is desperate. When a person is desperate, sometimes they get to be very dangerous. But when you're desperate for something good, that's okay. Right? Desperate. She had live wire faith. That any little touch of faith on the hem of the garment of Jesus would spark a miracle. Are you there? She heard. She believed. She believed. She acted. She said. Are you there? You say what you want happen for you, it will happen. She said within herself, if I may just touch the hem of his garment, it's going to be all right. Amen. If I can only touch, that's all. And she broke tradition. Broke through the crowds. That's why the Bible says she pressed. You know what it means to press? So nobody can stop you. She pressed. It means so many people were thronging around Jesus. And she's standing there wondering, how do I get to where Jesus is? So I'm going to press through the crowd. We've been there. One time, our economy was so bad in the 80s in Zambia. We used to, Pastor Julius is smiling because he did what I did. We used to queue up for cooking oil and sugar. You know those essential commodities? You go queue up. You go 4 a.m. in the morning and stand in the queue, and you're only allowed to buy 1 gallon. Is it a gallon? Is it 2.5 liters? Sugar, one packet of 2 kg sugar. So then daddy would send us, go and get us some sugar, some oil. So we get to the place there, found the queue is long, it's almost a mile.
You just look at the queue, go back home and say, oh man, when I got there, daddy, everything was finished. It was not finished. The crowd scared me, intimidated me. But there were people that stood there until they got what they wanted. Are you there? Now, can you imagine this little woman? So many people want to touch him. She stands there, says, I'm not going to give up until I just touch. I don't need for him to lay hands on me. Just a little touch. That's enough. Because she said, are you there? If you say, Mark 11:24, if you say, 22:24, if you say unto this mountain, right? Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that the things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. Amen. You shall have what you say. And whatsoever thing, the next verse, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe that you what? You have received it and you shall have it. Amen. How many of you are ready to receive from God here today? I have so much faith here today. It doesn't matter what you're going through today. God wants to bless you. Amen. He wants to come through for you. And you know, the number five thing was simple. She got it. Are you there? She acted. Are you there? She heard. She believed. She said. She acted. And she got it. Everybody say, I'm going to get it. Shout, I'm going to get it. Can I hear a big amen in this church? Amen. Amen. She got it. Simple. Simple steps of faith that will bring you a miracle in your situation, no matter what it is that you are going through. But I want you to turn to the book of John, chapter number 11. John 11. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you there in John 11? John 11. I heard a story of Pastor Tony. It's a story of... don't judge me. I don't know how true this one is. Right. It's a story of a rich man in Nigeria. And he had an only daughter. You know, when you have one, when you have one daughter and 1,000 men wanting to marry your daughter, that's a problem, eh? Are you there? So he was so rich, he had a big, almost Olympic-sized pool at the back of his yard. But they never used to swim there. He kept crocodiles in that pool. So he made a proclamation one day. He said, I am going to give my daughter to any man that is going to swim in this pool, beating the crocodiles. Are you there? I'm going to give them my daughter to marry. And so scores of young people came, and everyone was rushing, and they were driving. The place was packed, that big place there, the mansion, it was so packed. And everyone was getting ready to swim. But when they were told that there were crocs in the pool, and no one was led. Now, as they were talking, and then suddenly, someone accidentally pushed a gentleman into the pool. And when he dropped into the pool, the crocodile saw him. Now, instead of coming out from where he had dropped out of, are you there? He decided to swim across. So when he began to swim across, the crocodiles began to swim towards that gentleman. And he went so fast, he didn't know what had come to him. He just swam and swam, and that's when they were about to catch him, he got out, and everyone started to clap. I said, yeah, you have done it, you have done it. You can now have this man to be your wife. And the man came to him and said, my son, you are so brave. You risked your life just for my daughter. I am so I'm so terribly, you know, terrified, because I thought, I'm like, this is a man that called that the people should do that. But he said, you risked my life just for my daughter. You can marry my daughter, and I'm going to make you one of my general managers in one of my companies. And the young man was looking at the man. He says, I don't care about your daughter. All I want to know is who pushed me. Who pushed me? So he didn't go in by himself. Somebody pushed him. And that's what I've come to do here this morning. I've come to push someone here today. I've come to push you into your destiny. Hallelujah. You know, some people in life, Pastor, they need a push in order to get to where they're supposed to go. Are you there? Somebody pushed him. Who pushed me? You need a push. Look at your neighbor and say, you need a push. Tell them again, you need a push. Amen. Now the Bible says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus, in John 11, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary. I love John's gospel. So when you read John, verse 2 there, John is giving us a little Bible study in verse 2. You see it there? It says, it was what? It was that Mary. Now the reason it says that Mary is because there were so many Marys. There was Mary Magdalene. There was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There are several Marys. So he's trying here to help us understand which Mary is this. So he says, it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And therefore the sister sent him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. He whom you love. Does God love anybody here today? Are you going through stuff this morning? If you're going through stuff this morning, that scripture is for you. Lord, he whom you love is broke. He whom you love is having marital problems. He whom you love is sick. He whom you love has issues. Said he whom you love. Are you there? Can I hear somebody say amen? Okay, let's read on. Right. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified. So in other words, Jesus is saying, what Lazarus is going through will not take his life. But he took his life, but Jesus knew what he was talking about. I'm coming to that. Are you there? This sickness, in other words, what you are going through, is temporal. What killed your father will not kill you. What killed your grandmother will not kill you. What killed your daughter will not kill you. You have a different agenda. What killed your great-grandfather, who died 99 and a half years ago, will not kill you. He says, this sickness is not unto death, but for the Son of God, for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified. And now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. And so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. And are you going there again? And Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. Are you there? But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may work him up. Okay, we'll read on. I go that I may waking up. I love this. It says, whatever situation that we are going through, whatever issues that confront us, they will not take our lives. They will not delay us in our journey of faith, in our destiny journey to the place where we destined to be in life. God sometimes allows us to go through situations to teach us faith. And I'm not saying Lazarus had to get sick so that God could teach him faith. Lazarus was sick and he died. Are you there? Now Jesus took that situation to give God the glory. Told Lazarus is sick. All right. The glory of God shall be manifested through the situation that Lazarus is going through. Can I hear a big amen? Amen. Are we together? So remember, faith is not learnt in pleasant circumstances or places, but in unpleasant situations and places. So Martha and Mary sent word to Jesus to tell him Lazarus, whom he loved, is very sick. And Jesus says, the sickness is not unto death, but that for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified. Amen. So I want us to establish one thing here. You're going through a situation, whatever you are going through, I want you to know in your mind. Are you there? It will not kill you. Amen. Can I hear a big amen? It will not kill you. What you are going through is temporal. There's a solution for your situation. There's a solution for your problem. Hallelujah. I said there's a solution for your problems. You know, the circumstances of life that so discourage us, sometimes, you know, God views them as opportunities to increase our faith. Opportunities to take us to the next level. Amen. They are ladders to our success in life. They are vehicles to take us to our destination. Sometimes between where you are, amen, and where you want to be, there can be a Red Sea. But that doesn't mean you will not get to your destination. You will get to your destination. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, God is a good God. Praise the Lord. Listen to this. Just follow me. God wants to bless some people here today. There is a word for your situation. There is no situation that can escape the word of God. To every situation, there is a word. Amen. That's how God just, you know, wired things up in the word of God concerning you as it relates to you. There is a word for your situation. If you are sick, Christ is the healer. Amen. If you are sorrowful, the joy of the Lord is your strength. For every situation that confronts you, there is a word. Everybody say there's a word. Say there's a word. Amen. So I want you to follow me here as I share with you these thoughts. Under the title that I've coined, you will rise again. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you will rise again. You will rise again. Amen. So listen to this. Jesus spoke the word. Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. It reminds me of Mark 11 that I just quoted. Whoever says unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, he shall what? He shall have what he saith. You don't doubt in your heart, but you believe that what you say. That little woman believed what she said. She got a miracle. You will get your miracle. I say you will get a miracle. So listen to this. Lazarus dies, and then Jesus uses the word sleeps. He said Lazarus is sleeping. But you and I know Lazarus was not asleep. But he says Lazarus is sleeping. Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him. Then his disciples said, wow, if he sleeps, He's okay. He's gone to wake up. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said plainly, Lazarus is dead. Hello? Lazarus is dead. I love Jesus. One time in Mark chapter 5, verse 35 there and 39, he goes to the synagogue's ruler's daughter who dies, right? And she's dead. But when Jesus gets there, he says she's sleeping. And when he prays for her, he doesn't pray, oh, Lord, I pray that you resurrect this woman. He talks to her as he's waking up a person that is just sleeping. It's time to go to school. What is death to man is sleeping to Jesus. Amen. Are you there? It is sleeping. So he says in that Mark 5, he says to the little girl, I say unto you, arise. Come on. I say unto you, arise. Simple. But you know we charismatics and Pentecostals? Huh? I didn't tell Julius this. A lady died in my church. Maureen, a Zambian. She was married to a Namibian. She just died. And they phoned me at 2 a.m. She is dead. We're at the hospital. I say, why didn't you tell me? I could have been there and stopped that death. So you know what I did? I got into my car and I drove to the funeral parlor. Beautiful funeral parlor, by the way, dead people there. So I get there and I said, I've come to see Maureen. Understand? First I went to the wrong hospital. Then they brought this colored looking woman and said, no, this is not the one. So, but where is she? I said, no, I've taken her to the other mortuary, to go to the private morgue, you know. So I drove there. And I went there. I said, I've come to see Maureen. Oh, yeah, they brought her in last night. I said, where is she? I said, she's right over there, but you sit here, sir. Very nice decorated place. So they made me sit down there and in the chapel. And I was alone. Crazy stuff. And this man, I just heard the wheels. They brought her. So you can imagine what was happening in my heart. And the man just brought her and he left me with a dead woman, just the two of us. So he went. So, and then she was wearing glasses like me. They still put glasses on her. Just like she was just sleeping and they had put glasses on her. And then they sweat a little bit. So I sat there and I began to talk to a dead woman. I said, Maureen, I'm here. You know, I said, I'm here. You told the people that you will not die. And this pastor, and that you, she said she would not die. Pastor has to come and pray for her and resurrect her. So I am here according to your word. And she just lay there still, man. I said, Maureen, can you hear me? Now that was crazy. Can you hear me? I went closer. And Maureen just looked like she was asleep. I prayed now, Pastor Julius. I didn't want to scream. I said, let me exercise such authority. Just speak a word. I'm a servant. So I spoke. I said, Maureen, I say unto thee, arise. My Maureen was sleeping. I prayed and prayed until I could not pray. Don't laugh at me. Some of you have never done that. And after I'd finished, I had one problem. I said, how do I get out of here now? Are you there? What would they say? That's the second thing that happened. Remember Pastor Coombs from Pasadena in California? He was working as a missionary back in Zambia. When he died, and Dr. Mumba, the president of ministry, we drove 5 a.m. to that town to raise the missionary from the dead. We got there 5 a.m. And my pastor was so zealous when this mortuary attendant asked, well, what can we do for you? So I said, there's a missionary they brought here yesterday. He died in a car accident. I said, yes, are you his relations? Can't you see our car? How can we be related? I said, are you related or is he? I said, no. We've come to raise him from the dead. I said, he should not have said that. See, when you go to minister and you have some Thomases around you, So I just said, he just said, we have come to view the body. That is enough. Then he said, we have come to raise him from the dead. I said, wow, praise God. And they took us to the morgue. It was in June. It was very cold. There were so many bodies there. We saw one body of a Zimbabwean. They said, this man has been here for 2 months. I said, no, no, no. We don't care about the other bodies. We've come for this man here. And they had put him on the floor. And he was wearing that. He was in that nice short-sleeved shirt he loved to wear. And he just lay there like he was sleeping. Man, we prayed. Three men of God prayed. I got so tired. I left him praying, so I went by the door. Now I'm talking to the mortuary attendant, telling him stuff that was unnecessary. I said, sir, what would you do if that man rose from the dead? So Dr. Mumba said, Denson, that is not necessary. Come, let's raise this man from the dead. Oh, come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. And we prayed. Oh, he didn't rise. At least you didn't try. Don't look at me so sanctimoniously. Maureen in Namibia didn't rise. So my friend Goro, my friend from Nigeria, the pastor said, Denson, are you crazy? Do you know if that woman had risen from the dead, the whole Namibia would come to you? I said, that's what I wanted. Hey, God knows your heart. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. But God, listen to this. But God is so gracious until one day, right? Christine died from cerebral malaria. You remember that, Christine? She died, and they brought her to the crusade ground. The Cuban doctor certified her dead, you know, clinically dead. So they brought her to the crusade grounds. He knows the story. Christine knows the story. And God raised that woman from the dead in that meeting. He compensated for all our losses in Namibia. And are you listening to what I'm saying today? No, sometimes you need to dare. Are you there? You dare. Someone is sick. They bring someone who's blown out by a disease. Don't look at the way they are looking. Just look to Jesus. Amen. And pray in the name of Jesus. You see what God is going to do. Amen. Aren't you tired of hearing just testimonies of how God used this man and he used the other man? It is your turn. I say it is your turn. Amen. I tried, so don't laugh at me. But I've seen God do great things. Listen to this. In verse 14, concerning Lazarus, Jesus tells the disciples, Lazarus is dead. In verse 15, Jesus speaks as though Lazarus is still alive. And let us go to him. How can you go to a dead man? Are you there? In the mind of Jesus, Lazarus was sleeping. I give you another example. 10 lepers come to Jesus. You remember that? Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And they come to Jesus. And then Jesus says, what? He says, go and show yourselves to the priests. And the Bible says, as they went, action. Are you there? You got to put some action to your faith. The Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. As they went. As they went. When a preacher asks you, come on, Jesus has touched you, rise from this wheelchair, you are putting some action to your faith. Just rise and you walk. Amen. You have been prayed for. I have cancer. In the name of Jesus, that cancer, that demon of cancer, I command it to die. In Jesus' name, you are healed. Just begin to do what you could not do. Put some action to your faith. Amen. That's what happens. As they were cleansed. And then as they were going, one man stops. He didn't reach the priests. He went back. But I think he is himself the high priest. Are you there? So he goes back to Jesus. He goes back to show himself to Jesus. They were going to show themselves to the priests. But he comes back, and then Jesus does something. He does not send him back. He says, you, I told you to go back to the priests. Why have you come back? No, he doesn't. He says, when they are not 10 that I sent, and yet only one, the stranger, and he was a stranger. this stranger, which means he was not a Jew. This stranger has come back to give thanks to God. And what did Jesus say to him now? He says, your faith has made you what? Whole. So it means if his faith made him whole, those people that were cleansed, if he had a broken nose, the nose was healed, but it remained broken. You understand that? Hello? If he had leprosy, the leprosy was gone, but the man was still walking like this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hello? If he had missing toes or fingers, they were missing. Why? Because, are you listening to what I'm saying? Right? They were just cleansed. But to that man, Jesus said, your faith has made you well. If he had missing something, they were restored. If he had a missing eye, the eye was restored. If he had a missing part on the nose, it means it was restored. That's how Jesus works. So when he says, go and show yourself to the priest, he's saying, in the mind of God, they were already healed. Amen. Amen, someone. Can I hear a big amen? Can I hear a big amen? Praise the Lord. Listen to this. And the Bible says in Romans, this is why the Bible says in Romans 4:17, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Amen. As though they did. You know, the Bible does not say as though they, it says as though they did exist. There are things in the imagination of your mind that you can see through the eyes of faith. Just you. And you want those things to come to pass in your life. Nobody sees them, but you see them. They are in the future, but you can bring them to the now and manifest them in the now. Amen, someone. Are you there? So you call those things in life that are not there to come to manifestation. You begin to see healing where there is sickness. You begin to see life where there is death. You begin to see wealth where there is poverty. Amen. You see solution where there is a problem. Amen. That's what's going to happen. And then we need to change the way we think, our mentality. Are you there? When you look at a problem, you see the solution. Come on. You know, these things are real. I learned something, pastors. I learned something. You know, for you to be hungry is for the food seller to get money, to make money. Are you there? He sees hunger. How can I? Huh? Do you understand that? Huh? For you to die is for the coffin maker to make money. There's a solution in every situation. Someone dies, one guy comes and said, yeah, okay, 5 feet coffin. Oh, come on, somebody, are you with me here today? Oh, you are hungry? Okay, this guy, right, let me fix something here. To there is a solution to every situation. Do you understand that? You begin to see opportunities. Where there is a problem, you don't see a problem, you see an opportunity. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So Jesus sees Lazarus, wow, this is a great opportunity to give God the praise and the glory. I'm going to pray and God is going to raise this Lazarus from the dead. That the glory may go to God in the name of Jesus. Shout hallelujah. Amen. You begin to see healing where there is sickness. Life where there is death. Wealth where there is poverty. Amen. See solutions where there are problems. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And call them forth in the name of Jesus. So Lazarus at this time was already dead 4 days. Right? Four. So he does not go at the count of 1 day, 2 days, he stays 2 more days, and then he goes. According to their belief and myth, 4 days, you are really dead. Huh? You understand that? They say when a person dies, they have this belief that when a person dies, the spirit of that person is still hovering around that body. That's what they believe, the Jews. So Jesus said 4 days. Let me take this thing that they believe in and use it, amen, to bring glory and honor to God. So 4 days. So when he goes 4 days, he's smelling. The body is dead. The blood has turned to water. It's stinking. And that's when Jesus shows up. There was a man, McKenzie, you remember, told us a story in Zimbabwe. He's preaching, and then a demoniac walks into the church with an axe in his hand. And he was heading for the pulpit. I hope it doesn't happen here. And he was running. And the elders saw him. When they saw the axe, they were not led to catch that man. And the man came and he lifted the thing, and the elders were just watching from afar, you know. And he was about to plunge the axe into the head of the preacher. And the preacher shouted, "Jesus!" And the demoniac fell down, foaming, and demons left him. And the man said, "Thank you, Jesus." And then when they asked him, I said, "Why did you let him come so close to killing you?" He says, "That's what Jesus does. When you come to the end of yourself and you're about to fall, then Jesus comes and holds you. That's what he does." Are you listening to what I'm saying today? So it's not over until he says so. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, "It's not over." Say, "I am not finished." In fact, tell them, "I will never finish." Amen. Me, I'll never finish. 120 years, I'll still be alive. And I'll be looking more handsome than the way I'm looking right now. Amen. Man, you're going to... Hey, Pastor, you're going to look more handsome. She's going to want to marry you again. Amen. Say, "My husband, I want to propose to you at 120. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? Do you people imagine? Listen to this. Do you know... Hello? That's Pastor Johnson's wife and daughter. Do you know Lazarus, Abraham? How old was Abraham? How old? 100 years? And Sarah? 90. Now can you imagine? 100. The promise was made 25 years ago. You will have a son. Amen. When he said you have a son, he looked at himself. "God is full of humor. Me a son now. I must have a son." "Yes, you love a son." I said, "Son." I said, "A son of promise." I said, "Wow. At this age." And then to make matters worse, it took 25 years. At least the following year. Eh? But 25 years in waiting for a son. During that 25 years, I said, "This son is taking long. Eh? Go into your maid, Hagar, and give us Isis." Are you listening to what I'm saying today? Hello, somebody. So go in. And they fix the problem. They try to fix the problem, humanly speaking. Right. And they gave us Ishmael. Are you there? Ishmael. And we had problems. Problems started from that house. Up to today. Today. We have strange cousins called ISIL. Islamic State. This guy is foolish. He's saying, "We want to get rid of Western education," but he's talking in English. I don't understand. Oh, come on. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? Hello? So imagine, Pastor, 100. Then Sarah, the angels come and said, "You're going to have a Sarah at this time. Sarah is going to have a child." She said, lie. It's a lie. In Nigeria, say it's a lie. You know, so it's a lie, total lie. These angels, are they angels at all? Look at me. She was finished. Are you there? I was in Malawi. We saw, women, just forgive me for this one. Can I say it? We're in Malawi with Dr. Mumba. Remember when we went to Malawi? And so we're going to the border of Mozambique. And then I saw this man working in the field. But they... she was only, this person was only dressed up to here. Just there. So then I looked. I said, "Oh, that's a man. And that's how hot that man is working in the sun." He's going, "Oh." But it was not a man. It's when she did like this, when I discovered the truth. You're laughing. Then I learned, I said, Then when I saw that, I began to think, I said, Sarah, 90, she was finished. Do you understand that? Ever say finished? Abraham, 100. Men know what I'm talking about. He was completely 150% finished. Hello? But God says, you have a son. And Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for what? Righteousness. I can imagine Sarah sitting with the friends and says, ladies, I'm going to have a child. They say, abomination. Are you there? Abomination. Do you understand what I'm saying, Mama? 90, a child. I said, Sarah, this your dreams will kill you. Let's make pap for our husbands. You know? But God has spoken. When God speaks, when the rhema comes, the rhema will stop every satanic voice in your life. Every satanic prediction over your life. When the rhema word comes, it just eradicates it. In the name of Jesus. It's a tele word made you. When it comes, it destroys everything that is called doubt in your life. You need to stand on the word of God and believe that God is able. And to him that believeth, all things are possible to him who believes. Are you there? Amen. I can imagine there's this thing they call menopause. You reach a certain age and then women pause. Right. You know when you're playing music and then you press pause. All right. You understand what I'm saying? Just pause and you can play it again. So Sarah was on pause. Hey, somebody shout hallelujah. Sarah was on? Was on pause. So when she's talking to the women, they say, Sarah, you say you're going to have a child, but I thought you had menopause. She said, I am a woman of God. I don't pause. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. I don't pause. Oh, can I hear somebody say, I don't pause? When God speaks, when the rhema comes, he has spoken. You stand on the word, transformation will come. Breakthrough will come. In the name of Jesus, cancer will disappear. Tuberculosis will disappear. AIDS will give way. Hello, somebody. When the rhema comes, everybody say, rhema. Shout, rhema. That's what happened. God had spoken. Amen. To Abraham. When God spoke, everything dead in Abraham that night became alive. You understand that? Everything. Everything that you got, you who is 40 years old, Abraham at that time got it. It became alive. Are you there? You're so powerful. I don't think God just healed him to come into his wife to have Isaac and then to go back again. And Sarah also. But we're totally healed. You understand that? Totally healed. Because when he died, when Sarah died, he married again. And he had more children. Come on, am I talking to some people here today? He married Keturah. And he had sons and daughters by Keturah. May that be your portion today in Jesus' name. May God deliver you. May God touch you. May God transform you. May God heal you. May God resuscitate you. May God restore you. The miracle was not just for Isaac to come into this world. Keturah, she had children. She said, Abraham, what's going on here? She said, no, that miracle was not only for Isaac. Right? The purpose of God for Isaac has been done. But then God left a bonus in me, you know, that I can, again, you know, enjoy life. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Am I helping you? Am I helping someone here today? What I'm talking about, this is the word that will change you. Amen. So we don't read the word as if you're reading the newspaper, the Guardian or the Times of Kenya or the Times of Zambia. Now you're reading it and then, you know how you believe all the political lies in the newspapers and you go out and put on your suit and begin to preach what a politician said, which is all lies. Read the word. Let the word come alive into your spirit. When God speaks, miracles, transformation, you just stand on your word. Amen. By this time next year, you shall have a child. The Rhema word. By this time next year. Oh, Elisha said, by this time tomorrow. You don't have the faith of Elisha, because Elisha had ridiculous faith. By this time tomorrow, a loaf of bread shall cost 1 shilling. A bag of meal shall cost 2 shillings. The economy shall turn around by tomorrow. And one man said, even if God were to open the windows of heaven, this thing cannot be so. And the man of God said, I'll give you another word. You shall see it, but you shall not partake of it. It was a Rhema word. And that man was trampled and he died. He did not partake. You know, when God speaks, he can use anybody. He used 4 lepers. They were moving like, wow, you know. And there was famine. Just, then suddenly, they come to this camp. It is deserted. Are you there? There's no one in the camp. Swords everywhere. Food everywhere. They go in the tent. Everything's there. The gold, the silver, the food. Everything is there. Maybe it's a trap. Then they see clothes lying and swords scampered in the road all the way. Stay deserted. But you know what God did? He used the lepers to perform a miracle. And I like it to put this way. Because the man of God prophesied. Are you there? So when those 10 lepers were going, shuffling feet, making noise, wah, wah, God must have taken the noise of the 4 lepers of the shuffling feet and he sent it to the amplifier in heaven. It was amplified. Then he sent it back on the heads of the enemies. When they heard it, it was a great army coming to attack them. They say, oh, the Israelites have hired their enemies. Let us run away from here. And they began to run. They ran and ran. God will cause your enemy to hear a voice. They will hear a noise for your sake. I said they will hear a noise for your sake in the name of Jesus. Everything dead in your life is just sleeping according to Jesus. And he has come today to wake it up. He has come to restore the years that the enemy has taken from you. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Listen to this. Martha said in verse 21, we'll finish. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. In other words, Jesus would have prevented Lazarus from dying by healing him. But Jesus said, your brother will live again. Amen. My translation says, your brother will rise again. Look at your neighbor. Tell them you will rise again. Tell them you will rise again. Since you have no neighbor, let me tell you, you will rise again. In Jesus' name. Amen. You will rise again. Hey, no one here is condemned to perpetual poverty and struggles. We have had enough struggles. We've paid in Zambia. We say when you go through situations, people con you and they steal from you. We say, I've paid too much school fees. Are you there? Eh? Too much struggle. Something must come to an end. Something must stop somewhere. This God is a big God. Something must come to an end. And I pronounce it and I declare it over you today. Something is giving way in your life. Resurrection is taking place in your life. In the name of every dead situation in your life is coming to life. In Jesus' name. Whatever the enemy has taken from you, God shall restore. The years that the locusts have eaten, the years that the canker worms have eaten, the years that the caterpillars have eaten, the years that the palmer worms have eaten, restoration is coming and is coming for you. Come on, say this message is for me. Say this message is for me. Do you believe that? I believe it. Because we are tired. Amen. Sir, can you sing the song of the Lord in a strange land? Yes, you can. Because America is a strange land. Very strange. Very strange. I heard a story. I don't know whether it's true. Someone says, President Mugabe said, we will allow homosexuals to marry. They will marry.
But if they don't produce any children, we'll jail them for 7 years. Are you there? I thought that was powerful. Amen. Listen, if you had been here, Jesus said, you will live again. In other words, he's saying, your situation will change. Amen. That's what he's saying. Your situation will change. That's what the Bible says here. Hey, pastor, I'm going through. No, your situation will change. Oh, pastor, I need. Your situation will change. Not my marriage. Your situation will change. Not my job. Your situation will change. Lord, my children are on drugs. Your situation will change. Lord, my mother is sick of cancer. Your situation will change. God is able. Amen. Sometimes they say, Lord, I prayed. Pray for my father. He died. And, you know, he was taking a shower and then he collapsed in the shower in Kitwe, you know, in 2010. And he died. So my sister calls me. Your father has just collapsed. Looks like there's no breath in him. So I said, put the phone on his ear. So she put the phone. I prayed. It was just still. I mean, he passed away. We buried him. He there. And then sometimes you ask, I say, why? When we do it for others, you know, there's things sometimes only God knows. You understand what I'm saying? Right? I say, sometimes you have faith. When my son was sick, 30 days in hospital, his liver was infected, his tummy just grew big, they had given him wrong medication for the lipoma on his head. He had a tumor here naturally, you know, and they took him to the intensive care unit, you know, and then my wife was just crying, the children crying. I said, and we're praying, and then my daughter prayed a strange prayer, Renee, you know, she said, Lord, we have asked you, because your word says in Mark 11, is it 24? You know? So whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That is the prayer of faith in Mark 11. She prayed. She says, we have asked and you have heard us. And then she says, we will not come to you again to ask you for the same thing, because we know that you have healed my brother Naphtali. That's how she prayed, and we recorded that. And we went to the hospital. ICU, the pastors came and were praying, and you know, just there, all we were hearing is just ting, ting, you know, in the ICU. And then, so we prayed. We said, one pastor said, let's just decree that the presence of God fill this place. We prayed and prayed, and then we left the place. And my friend was going to South Africa at that time. Now, 3 a.m. in the morning. Are you there? That was Tuesday. Now, 3 a.m. of Wednesday morning. The Cuban nurse, from Cuba, so many Cubans in Namibia and Zambia, she heard someone singing in the ICU. You don't make noise in the ICU. So he's singing. He's a musician. He's singing. And his eyes open. So when she went there, it's Naphtali, he is singing. I said, what happened to you? He says, Jesus came into my room and healed me. I tell that testimony wherever I go. God healed him. You know, when the liver is infected, you develop rash. He was looking like a leper. He was white all over that day. Just rash, peeling off, you know. But when that miracle happened, the rash disappeared. And they moved him from the ICU to the fifth floor, to the side room there. But then they still kept him. And he's okay. God touched him. God can touch someone here today. Amen. Amen. So when you pray, we just thank him that he has done it. Yeah? That's how I've come to you today, to tell you that you live again. You will not die. Amen. Are you there? You will excel. You will succeed. You will be healed. You will overcome. Amen. Though your beginning was small, your latter end shall greatly increase. How we need it to increase in these last days. Lord, you know what I've gone through. May the remaining years of my life until I get to 120 years, may the remaining years of my life, let them be maximized. May I maximize them. If it's 10, 20 years of strength I have, may I maximize that. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. Are you there? I speak supernatural increase upon your life right now. Receive it in the name of Jesus. I said, I speak supernatural increase upon your life. I speak grace upon your life. I speak open doors of opportunities over your life today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the first time I see Jesus troubled in his spirit is at this account of Lazarus. He was troubled. He groaned in his spirit. Jesus was troubled in his spirit and groaned. And when he saw Mary and the Jews weeping, he wept. You know the shortest scripture, a verse in the Bible, verse 49. And the Bible says, and Jesus wept. He was so compassionately moved. God has given us authority, amen, and power to help us overcome every negative situation of life, to help those in need, to bring someone out of their misery. God has given us the ability. When God blesses you, he's blessing you for your neighbor, to help your neighbor, help someone that is in need, amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have the power of believing faith. Look at how Jesus ministered. And we're heading there. You know, Jesus lifted up his eyes to the Father at the tomb and said, Father, I thank you that you have me. You follow that? How come when he did not offer prayer? He did not offer prayer. He did not offer prayer. He said, I thank you that you have heard me. I didn't see him pray. But he says, thank you. How did he hear him? Can you follow me? He said, thank you. This is at the tomb. Thank you. It is when he declared and said, this sickness is not unto death, the Father heard him. So when he came to the tomb, he was referring to what he said then. He said, Lord, I thank you that you have heard me. Are you there? I thank you that you have heard me. That's what you should do when you believe in God for a miracle. Miracle of finances, miracle of a woman to marry, a man to marry. You just say, you just refer to that time when you asked him to do something. You say, Father, thank you. Next time you pray, say, thank you that you heard me. Now it's time for you to manifest me. Amen. Are you there? You understand that? Some of you, the reason why you cannot marry, you pray wrong prayer. Lord, I pray for a partner. But even companies have partners. What are you talking about? What do you want a partner? Just tell him, Lord, I am single. I need a woman to marry. Amen. Do you understand that? Lord, I need a partner. For what? So that you could be stealing together? A partner for life. You steal for life. You go to jail. He says, make your requests known to God. Isn't that so, sir? If you need a wife, just tell him, God, I wanted to speak my language. I need a wife. If it's a man, I need a woman to marry. I need a woman to marry. Sure, it's woman. Not two people with beard. And they say, kiss the bride. Mustache on mustache. When you're sleeping at night, you say, hey, honey, can you move a bit? Are you taking too much space? Instead of saying, oh, honey, you need to hear that voice. Don't hear another voice, the one that you have. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. So he says, Father, I thank you that you heard me. Amen. Eba say, Father, I thank you that you heard me. He has heard you. The first day you prayed, who is believing God for something here? He has heard you. Amen. heard you. What's up, lady? Your name again at the back, at the controls? Lorraine, he has heard you. That thing that you've been believing God for, that thing that you've been crying to God for, that thing that you're saying, when will this thing happen? I keep praying the same thing and this thing seems to be taking long. It is not taking long. The first day that you said it, he heard you. And you will soon see the manifestation of that thing come to pass in your life. Oh, come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? Hello, somebody. Amen. Amen. He said, I thank you that you heard me. Oh, we need a building of our own. The first day that you said it, God heard it. You may do fundraising, sell popcorn here and there to raise money. I don't know whether that will be enough, you know, but when God hears it, sometimes help comes from unexpected sources, from people you didn't even expect to bless you. It's coming to pass. Amen, somebody. You receive that? Amen. You sweat so hard working. You know how we sweat. 5 jobs. Right? Some people 7 jobs because they say, I need to take the number 7. So 7 jobs. When he's about to reach home, the job is starting, so he can't go home. He has to go back again. He reaches there when he says, 7 jobs. God forbid from today. May that which your heart has always desired to have, may it resurrect in your life in the name of Jesus. Are you there? So God, give us wisdom. Do you know what wisdom is? Wisdom is the sweat reducing agent. It is the sweat reducing agent. That's what the Bible says. If the axe is dull, Ecclesiastes 10:10. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen his edge, he requires more strength. But wisdom is profitable for direction. Do you understand that? Amen. Amen, oh. Do you understand that? Look at your verse. He's talking about me. Sweat. Like the one I have here in my head. Sweat. Let me even wipe it. This is wisdom now. I'm wiping. Amen. Am I helping you? I'm going to close because some of you want me to close. And yet you stayed up to 12 a.m. last night. You're going to now close. I heard a testimony that you closed at 12. So I will not add another one. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? No more sweat. Amen. I mean, were we born for trouble? Eh? And then this, I see this damn pastor comes and says, we are cursed. He goes to the book of Noah and he sees himself cursed. He said, you are the one who's cursed. Me, I'm not. Huh? Are you listening to what I'm saying today? So he said, the Father heard him. Whenever we pray, the Father hears us. Even when we just speak. My friend had a meeting with Frederick Price, my good friend in Pastor Goro. Frederick Price visited us. And then when he visited his office in California, he said, they were talking about something they wanted to do in Namibia. So they're talking, right? And they're agreeing, yeah, we can do that. Yes, I believe we can do that, man of God. We'll see what we can do here at Crenshaw and help you out there. You know? Now, after they had finished talking, then my friend, religiously like you and me, says, can we now commit what we have discussed in prayer to the Lord? That's okay, eh? But Frederick Price says, no. What do you mean pray? What do you want to commit? Didn't I say yes? I said, yes, we did. Did you say yes? I said, yes, I did. Then it's done. You're talking to these faith preachers. You said yes. I said yes. According to the word of God, it's done. Now you want to go intercede. That's all. Pastor, have you agreed that you want a new building? Stop this fasting and praying now. Eh? You pray. and fast. You don't fast for money. When you fast, your fasting must make you get closer to God so that you can hear Him for your breakthrough and get the wisdom that you need to turn your situation around. They made us fast in Zambia. Tap, and I'm walking like. I said, these miracles are hard to come by. And then the pastor will call you to fast. Him is just okay. I said, is he eating at night? Oh. You know, I said, beware with some of these pastors sometimes. Eh? Hey, mama. So, as we are just as you know, we are finished here. And then we go home, sit, said, yeah. Miracles are forever. Oh, my word. Come on. We just need to agree. But of course, there's warfare. Sometimes the devil doesn't want you to have what you have. So we're going to pray and bind him and take authority and put him where he belongs. And that is under our feet in the name of Jesus. Amen. You understand that? Did I balance it up now? Okay. All right. But please, too much fasting or you go. Now you'll be like Sarah, walking like this. But you should fast. You should pray. For there are things that will not just go away until you have prayed. Amen. When you pray, you magnify God over your enemy. In Jesus' name. You understand what I'm saying? You pray, you fast. But be careful how you fast. You understand that? So when you agree over something, it is done. No matter how long it takes to come, God heard it. You see what happens in heaven, right? Because the spirit realm is real. Okay? There are things in the spirit realm that, you know, they're just working against you, trying to confound you, to confuse you, to stifle you and stuff. So when you pray, we take authority over the heavenlies. You understand that? Right? And when we do that, we'll see the manifestation of that thing that we've been believing God for. Are you there? It's so real out there. So the minute you say agree and pray, whether you have prayed, well, they say yes and yes. The minute you do that, the Bible says, if two of you shall agree on earth. The Bible does not say, if two of you shall pray and agree in prayer. It says, if two of you shall agree on earth, you say yes, I say yes, it is done, and you stand on that word. If you want to pray, it's like, devil, God has heard us. You cannot stop us. Look at your neighbor and say, you can't stop me. You are too small to stop me. Amen. Am I helping someone here today? Amen. So, the word, he hears us. We need to speak in faith for us to get the results in Jesus' mighty name. When we pray or speak or say the word, confess the word, Jesus, who is the high priest of our confession, confesses the same before the Father and will have the desired results. Come on, somebody. Amen. So you speak the word. Speak what Jesus is speaking. Amen. Are you there? We are not disadvantaged. We are at an advantage. You speak what he's saying. Amen. Look at this. There's got to be a solution for God to reveal himself to you. Are you there? Are you there? There is got to be a problem for God to solve in order to reveal his glory. You understand that? There's got to be. There has to be a problem in order for there to be a solution. Amen. Are you there? All these so-called names of God, Jehovah, M. Kadesh, they were born out of situations. You can even create your own. Yeah. And you say, Jehovah is whatever you put there. Chris, a Jewish man, a rabbi will tell you, he has hundreds of names of God. That way, when God moved upon their situation, they called God something. Right? He's Jehovah Rapha. Are you there? He's Jehovah M. Kadesh. You can even have it in Kikuyu. Eh? God does something for you, you say it in Kikuyu. I don't know how you say it, but if it works, that's great. But you say it anyway. Eh? Do you understand what I'm saying? God is able. Everybody say God is able. Listen, lift your hands right now. Father, I declare to your people today, by the life and power of God in you, whatever you touch will live in the name of Jesus. Whether in business, whether in personal life, whether in other people's lives, in the name of Jesus, whether in marriage, in Jesus' mighty name, it will answer to the name of Jesus who lives in you. You will benefit others and you also benefit. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that? Amen. You will receive it. You will have it. I say you will have it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So today we change our confession. We speak like him. We think like him. You talk like him. Amen. You plan like him. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The Bible says, they that trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion, which can never be moved, but abideth forever. And as the mountains around Jerusalem, so the Lord is about his people. So is the Lord about you. You will not waver. You will not fail. Amen. You will not die. What killed your father will not kill you. What killed your friend will not kill you. What killed your grandfather will not kill you. Amen. What you are going through is temporal. It shall come to an end in the name of Jesus today. I want to declare over your life in the name of Jesus, everything that is trying to stand in your way, to hinder you, to stop you from today, we command that thing to cease in your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. I see an end of troubles as you connect today to God. I see an end of argument over your life as you connect to God today. I see an end of every satanic prediction over your life as you connect to God today. I see an end of that devil of sickness and miscarriage as you connect to God today. In Jesus' mighty name. You remember Precious, Pastor Julius? Was it Precious? She was married every time. Remember when the day Christopher got healed of peptic ulcers at our crusade there. Then there was a lady, you know her. Every time she gets pregnant, she was married. When it's 5 months, she would have a dream. In her dream, a snake would come and bite her. When she's bitten by a snake in the dream, she wakes up and then she sees blood. The baby is gone. It happened 3 times. Remember that? Are you there? Happened. But that day, the power of God touched her. She got delivered. Demons cast out of her. And then later, they didn't waste time. She was pregnant again. 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months, she had a baby. That baby is a big guy now. They named it Miracle. He's alive today. God can do it for anyone here today. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Amen. One woman calls me from Mufulira. She was working at the bank. She was harassed every time she's at the bank. She feels like someone is standing behind her. When she looks, there's no one. Just this strange thing harassing her. She was so confused in her mind. She went home and then she calls. Say, Pastor, remember the story? So she calls the office, right? And then, so I picked the phone, and it was her. I said, Pastor, I said, I don't know what's happened. Please pray for me. She used to work at Barclays Bank. So I prayed over the phone. Now, whilst I was praying, demons manifested. What do you do? You're in another town, and demons manifest, and someone is by themselves in the house. So demons manifested. So I kept on praying. Because she threw the phone, but I could hear the scream. Ah! Ah! So, I mean, I was just praying on the phone. I prayed, I come out of her. Come on, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave that woman. Lose your heart and let her go. I was just praying. I'm praying, casting out the devil. And then I began to hear, ah! She's vomiting. Ah! And it was quiet. Then she came again, picked the phone. She said, Pastor, they are gone. It's a true story.